It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
All right. Good afternoon. Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome to the show. We're glad that you've chosen to join us. We are broadcasting live, not from Atlanta today like we usually are, but we're broadcasting from beautiful Savannah, Georgia. In fact, we're at Savannah Technical College, and we've got another big show lined up. This is the third of three segments down here as we continue our Savannah Business Leadership Series. So if you're listening to this on a replay, you can listen live next time if you go to our website, supplychainnowradio.com, click the big red button, easy for you to say. Usually features our next upcoming show, and you can catch us live there, or you can keep listening to us on replay. We like that too. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and SoundCloud. You can simply search for Supply Chain Now Radio. We invite you to subscribe. It's real easy. You'll never miss a show, and you'll get access to about 90 podcasts and webinars that we have produced and uploaded to those channels. So in addition to our regular sponsors, Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream, today's episode is also brought to you by the Savannah Supply Chain guy, Bill Stankiewicz. If you're looking for a local supply chain go-to resource in the Savannah area, need warehouse space, have a supply chain problem, you can give Bill a call. Great resource. I've known Bill for quite some time. He's usually a co-host with me on this series, and he's a great person to have in your corner. So you can learn more at SavannahSupplyChain.com. So as I mentioned, this is the final of three segments here in Savannah as we continue our Savannah Business Leadership Series on Supply Chain Now Radio. This afternoon, we are featuring Lou Stover, Director of Sales for UNIS, which stands for Unified Network Information Services, right?
That is correct.
Good afternoon, Lou. How you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you.
You bet. Glad to have you and looking forward to interviewing you in just a second. We also have Kevin Wertz, Vice President for Economic Development with Savannah Technical College, who are our gracious hosts today. Good afternoon, Kevin.
Good afternoon, Scott.
Glad you are here.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. Thank you for bringing this down to Savannah.
You bet. Well, really appreciate all of your collaboration on the previous show with Laura Lee Bocade. We talked about your critical involvement and leadership in helping stand up Apex Savannah. So really appreciate that. You've been a great friend and resource down here for many businesses and business leaders. So we've got a good show lined up. So we want to dive right in with our first guest, Lou Stover, again, Director of Sales for UNIS. So Lou, good afternoon again.
Good afternoon.
So tell us about what your organization does.
What we do is we're an asset-based 3PL. We supply transportation. We supply warehousing and dray. We have our own assets, our own chassis, our own trucks, our own drivers, our own warehouses. Mm. We currently occupy 300,000 square feet of warehouse right now. The first quarter of 2020, we opened a 500,000 square foot, both in Pooler, right off of Jimmy Deluxe Parkway, mm-hmm. about 6 miles from the port, so it's very convenient. That's what we
that's
do
a
for
lot.
Everyone. Yeah, and we service not just Savannah, but we have Dallas, we have Houston, we have New Jersey, seven warehouses in California, long from Oakland to the Valley. We'll be opening up Seattle.
Fantastic.
And probably Charleston and then Virginia next.
So with Seattle, is there a certain piece of business that you can speak to that's creating an opportunity to open up a location there?
Well, Seattle is one of the bigger retail states. Mm. They have a lot of retail. We're also trying to get into every port location, and that includes rail. We're opening Chicago soon also to do the rails and things like that, which is very big for everyone now that we're building that mega rail here in Savannah for the port. So, yeah, we look to come out good on that end also, should we say.
Now, Lou, where are you from?
I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, originally. I grew up there. I went to high school there.
Really?
Worked in LTL freight there for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And got the opportunity to come to Savannah through the Purdue Incorporated, which was owned by Sonny Purdue, David Purdue.
Yep.
So
how long have you been in the Savannah area now?
I've been here 8 years.
Okay. I'm processing your accent, and I didn't have you pegged for Atlanta. I had you pegged for Alabama.
Whoa.
I love it. I could listen to you read the encyclopedia.
That's a lot of fighting words there, fighting words, especially he's missing his Georgia Bulldog watch there.
That's right.
I like that.
That's right.
Absolutely. I am a Bulldog. No, actually, my accent, I get this a lot, is because my mom's from a little small town called Barmwell, South Carolina.
Yes. I'm from Aiken. Originally.
Oh, you're from Aiken. Well, you know exactly where I'm talking about.
Sure do.
And got a big family there, and she has the accent. So my dad's from Atlanta. So
I love it.
I picked up her accent, I guess, spending more time with my mom growing up. So
for our listeners' benefit, South Carolina has 46 counties. I'm originally from Aiken County, and Barnwell is just a county to its immediate south. Mm-hmm. And way back when, I worked for a food distributor, and I worked portions of Aiken County, but Barnwell County. Mm-hmm. I spent numerous miles driving through Barnwell and Allendale, Fairfax, and Hampton, South Carolina, and really enjoy the people in that part of the country is just fantastic. So we may be third cousins. Who knows? Lou.
You never know.
So I've been here in Savannah 8 years, right?
Correct.
And it seems like Savannah is a really important business market for Eunice, right?
Absolutely. We literally opened our new warehouse the fourth week of December. It's full now. So,
wow, fantastic.
Yeah, it grows quick. I think the market's like 1% availability for warehouse. So it's very easy to sell. Actually, folks really just come to you.
Yeah.
So it makes me look real well. But there's a lot of good people out there needing a lot of good service. And I think we've been behind on that. And Savannah's catching up real quick on that.
Oh, man. A ton of growth. So 25 years in LTL in the Atlanta market. Is that right?
That is correct, yes.
I bet you have some war stories and could write several books. Can you share one or two of your life lessons learned from that experience?
I can share one with you. I worked for a company called Cy Motorlines.
Yep.
For 13 years. Very good company. Grown tremendously from the time I started there to the time I left. A lot of good people, a lot of good mentors there. But I like to share my Girl Scout story.
Okay.
We were the distributor for Northeast Georgia for Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, man. My favorite, the mint, thin mints. Holy cow.
Absolutely. I like the Do-si-dos. Okay. Actually, I just ate a whole box the other day. I'm just going to let that be known. But it's a full week, and it's night and day. You deliver, sometimes you're delivering through a church window on rollers. Sometimes, you know, these Girl Scouts are finding anywhere they can to receive these as groups. And what you're doing is delivering to the regional troop leaders for all their little groups. And, you know, sometimes 2-3 truckloads.
Wow.
So you got like 14 moms out there and about 50 little girls out there wanting their cookies, right? And so now I really hate, if they didn't taste so good, I wouldn't ever eat another one. But I'll be honest with you, they're good cookies. But just to organize that, and that was one of my claim to fame, was being able to organize that and have the best week force 2 or 3 years in a row. But it's hard to please a lot of home moms doing cookies. I think the church comes out of when their cookies are late or the orders are wrong. But there's a lot to it that I can't go into detail, but we still keep some of the recordings from the moms.
I bet. Well, you know, it's funny because when you think of Girl Scout cookies, you don't immediately go to the supply chain behind it, but there's got to be one, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's tough business. Yeah. It really is. Yeah. It's on the minute, and you have to deliver, of course, on time. Everybody wanted it yesterday, but setting up your appointments, and everybody that's been to Atlanta knows the traffic is – there is none, so there's no delays right. whatsoever. So,
well, so what? Give us one other. So I like the Girl Scout. We can talk about Thin Mints. I am so bad. I bought like 8, maybe 10 boxes of Thin Mints from one of our team members a year or so ago, and much like you, that one of those first boxes, it didn't take long to go because you sit down and before you know it, you've gone through a sleeve and then a second sleeve, but. What else in that 25 years, in particular from a business lesson learned and how you're applying it now at Eunice, what did that teach you? Because LTL, man, that is a dog-eat-dog industry, right? And Saia is a great company. I've shipped a good bit with them when I was in manufacturing. So tell us other critical business lessons learned.
I think the biggest lesson you learn, especially doing LTL and dealing with all types of folks, from people, you know, we delivered radio host and things like that, furniture to their house, just different things. I think it's doing exactly what you say you're going to do. That's the biggest thing for all customers. That's one thing I try to instill what I'm doing when I'm selling to a customer. We're going to do what I tell you we're going to do. I'm going to back that up. I'm going to come to see you eye to eye. We're going to talk about all the problems. And that's your biggest challenge. If you can't do what you say you're going to do, then you're just like everybody else out there just trying to make a buck. And that don't work anymore. It's relationships.
Well, I would also venture to guess in supply chain where planning is king, right? You've got to be able to depend on these commitments that your suppliers or your partners or resources, you know, commit to, so you can plan everything else that follows, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Technology plays a big part of that, and that's one of the reasons I do enjoy working for Unis, is the fact that we were a technology company first. So we're probably about 4 or 5 years ahead of everybody else in the technology realm. Mm. And when somebody has to, and we've all been there, no matter if it's adding something to your computer to do this podcast, right, or whoever your supplier is for that, you have to wait. Somebody has to design it and go through it. We're fortunate we do that ourselves. All our systems are our own.
Vertically integrated.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's all our own, including our ADLs.
Okay.
So
you touched on a little bit, you know, how you got to where you are. Born and raised in Atlanta, 25 years in LTL, been here about 8 years. What other experiences helped you get where you are today, where you're leading sales for Unis?
I would say it's mentors going through the process. I mean, I literally started out as a combo driver with Spartan Express in 1989.
All right.
Working the dock and driving. It's mentors getting the opportunities and taking the opportunities and the chance. Even though you don't know nothing about it, I moved up to safety. Then they learned I could dispatch. That was a big mistake. and I dispatched for a while. Then I learned to work the inbound, the outbound, you know, the whole process. So I made myself very valuable in that.
Mm. Well, I bet that serves you well when you're sitting down with clients and explaining to them how the process is going to work, right?
Oh, it helps sell tremendously. Oh, you got a lot of folks out there that are sales folks that only know their end, the sell end, and that's what you get trained on.
Mm.
But when you have that ability to know the process and what kind of stuff to go for, it helps.
Yep. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about some of your perspective on recent supply chain trends. What are some of the developments that you're tracking, Lou?
Technology is a big one. I believe it's warehouse space and the distance that we go from ports and how much emphasis we put on that. The way our rail system is starting to work with the infrastructures and to do better. I don't know if a lot of folks know what we're doing down here in Savannah with the mega rail, but the big part is they're going over the traffic or under the traffic, to whereas now you have to wait for 30 minutes just to cross a railroad track because of coming out of the port and things like that. So I think it's the infrastructure and the way the government is now working with that and understands how much that helps the economy.
Yep. We on the earlier show, we talked about you speaking railroad. In Norfolk Southern moved their headquarters to Atlanta from Norfolk, Virginia here. And at a recent investors conference, their CEO talked about how they're implementing PSR, Precision Scheduled Railroading, which is going to focus on centralizing operations, reducing staff, unfortunately, running fewer, heavier, faster trains so they can optimize the network. And what their CEO, Jim Squires, mentioned is that basically they want to be clear about what they can and can't do. And ultimately, he mentioned that they're going to have to, you know, some of the business they're doing today isn't going to make sense for them moving forward. So some big changes are coming when it comes to rail.
Oh, absolutely. Rail's going to be a big part, one, for the shortage of drivers. And then number two, for their timing on it. You know, the rails in the past have not been the easiest to get in and out and do business with. And I think the way, and it's just the way the system's designed, not to hold anybody for that.
Sure.
But I believe that rail is stepping up huge to do the things to help the infrastructure, because it helps all of us. I mean, the Georgia ports, from here, we'll be able to reach Chicago 2 days.
Yep.
24 hours. You know, it's just going to get better and better as we go.
Yep.
And that cuts down truck traffic on the highways, which we all love as traffic.
Well, yeah, these inland ports are going to be a neat strategy. And the Georgia Logistics Summit's coming up on March 14th. And that 75 corridor Appalachian Inland Port, I think it's called, has been so well received that, of course, y'all heard the announcement that Gaines was going to be the second inland port up the 85 corridor. I think it's going to go live 2021. But that's going to be the theme of the Georgia Logistics Summit. It's going to be the inland port strategy. They're going to really dive deep on that. So, and, you know, that couldn't be possible without rail, you know, taking these trucks off the road for sure. So let's break out Karnak. If you remember Johnny Carson and the whole Karnak routine, we want to get some bold, fearless predictions from one loosed over for 2019. So what do you, when we're doing this in January 2020, what are we going to have seen happen?
Well, I'm going to do two predictions here. First is going to be with logistics. I think the port here in Savannah will probably reach its 8 million TBUs.
Hey.
By the end of 2020, I don't think it's going to take 4 years at the rate they're growing. And number two, University of Georgia is going to win a national football title 2019.
I love that. So I'm not going to tell you who I'm a big fan of, but Clemson University. But I'll keep talking. No, I've admired. So we live in Loganville, and so just down the road from Athens. And it's been really neat to talk with a lot of Bulldog fans about the culture. You know, if there's any parallels when we talk about college football or sports in general and supply chain, it's the culture that these organizations and these coaches instill. And it seems like UGA, everyone is drinking the same Kool-Aid. I mean, that they are the Alabama-Georgia game was such an incredible game. The season Georgia put together, who wanted to play them? To our listeners, there are no hands raised in the room. So I'm looking forward to big things out of the Bulldog program next year. So, but you've put the gauntlet down, national championship.
Yeah, I believe it's our time.
Yes.
And it, really, I don't think it. I think it's the, like you said, what they're putting into the program. They're doing every step correctly. They're doing the things right. And we got a lot of young kids, so we teach them right, and if they do the right things and don't make too many young kid mistakes, I think we'll do real well.
So speaking of, you know, young kids, young professionals in the industry, I know that you're well-connected. The Savannah Logistics Connection is an industry group that you're a part of.
Yes,
right?
I'm the president. It's a 501(c).
Oh, okay.
I'm the president of the Savannah Logistics Connection.
I got to get on my Malcolm and the research team for bad show notes. So president of the Savannah Logistics Connection, 501(c)(3),
yep.
Nonprofit.
Yes.
Okay. And now why do y'all exist? What's the mission?
We exist basically because our whole thing's networking, connecting logistics people, anything that touches logistics from forklift companies, the truck repair companies. We're here to connect them all, network them together. All our events are free with exception of like the golf or the lunch and learns, mm-hmm. but our monthly events, the after hours networking events are very good. And they're about networking. We're not supporting colleges, things like that, because we want to spend the money back into the community.
Love it.
Now, just one thing. We had a lady that her son died at 17 in Atlanta, unexpected, didn't have enough insurance. Within a day, we on our GoFund, our group raised $25,000.
Holy cow.
So,
Lou, that's
great.
That's huge.
We'll do them things, and that's what we like to do, and we also connect companies needing help and things like that, but that's what we do for our members.
So let's talk about the value of, you know, if we've got a bunch of recent college graduates that are just starting their supply chain careers, talk to them about the importance of, you know, engaging in these in a or a couple industry associations and developing those relationships.
The networking would be good for them, whether it's, you know, Savannah Traffic Club, Atlanta Maritime, Atlanta Logistics Connection. The networking is very good. Number two, when you do, don't just go for one job. Try to get a job in the industry. Mm-hmm. Get you a mentor, right? Somebody that knows the industry like me that's been in it a while that can help you learn different aspects and different angles of it. that's literally how most of the people I know, we just had good mentors, people absolutely. That want to share what they know.
And the Savannah Logistics Connection has an upcoming event, right? Tell us about that.
Yes, we have a our first annual golf tournament at Henderson Golf Club here in Savannah, March 21st, 9:30 check-in, 11 o'clock shotgun start,
okay.
And just contact me.
Okay. And so contact you, and you can connect with Lou. Of course, the company website is let's see here.
Eunice Company.
It's UNISCompany.com. And for folks to reach out to you specifically, whether it's about Eunice or about Savannah Logistics Connection, find you on LinkedIn, or how do folks reach out to you?
Yeah, you can definitely find me on LinkedIn. We also have the Savannah Logistics Connection LinkedIn. We have SavannahLogistics.org, which is our website.
Gotcha.
And then we have a Facebook page also for Savannah Logistics Connection. And you can get me at, of course, my email, lou.stover@unisco.com.
And let's see, March 21st, that is a Thursday, right?
That is correct.
Thursday, and that's Henderson, you said Henderson Golf Club?
Yes, sir, right there off 204.
Okay, all right. Spoken like a true transportation guru.
Absolutely.
Well, Lou Stover, Director of Sales with Eunice Company, it's been a pleasure to get to know you. I admire your leadership in industry. That's huge, what you are doing with Savannah Logistics Connection, the nonprofit there. And we wanted to our viewers come out. If you're in Savannah or in the area, come out and support what they're doing at their golf event on March 21st. And you can learn more at SavannahLogistics.org or reach out to Lou via any of those methods he just mentioned. And if all that fails, a little extra redundancy, you can shoot us a note to Scott@SupplyChainNowRadio.com, and we'll get you connected. Lou, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And go Dogs, right?
Go Dogs.
All right. Fantastic.
This episode of Supply Chain Now Radio is brought to you by Apex Atlanta, an association for supply chain management organization. Apex Atlanta provides supply chain thought leadership, networking, and certification opportunities for supply chain professionals and companies in the Southeast. Consider getting involved with Apex Atlanta as a volunteer or general guest. Student memberships are free and the networking opportunities are numerous. Supply chain certification workshops can be delivered at your offices and are also offered through a partnership with Georgia Tech Supply Chain and Logistics Institute. In 2019, CSCP and CLTD workshops are offered in a 2.5-day boot camp format in June and October. Whether you're interested in better understanding inventory management and planning fundamentals, end-to-end supply chain management concepts, or logistics, transportation, and distribution, Apex Atlanta has something for you. For more information on the workshops, the certifications, or area networking opportunities, check out apexatlanta.org or send a note to info@apexatlanta.org.
So next guest today on Supply Chain Now Radio is Kevin Wernz, Vice President for Economic Development for Savannah Technical College, our host today. Good afternoon again, Kevin.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Good, good. I'm showing Lou a picture that I took New Year's of his prediction for the Bulldogs, and it's my nephew who's on the team, number 42.
Wow.
He's a red shirt. He was a red shirt freshman, and so I agree with Lou that 2019 is the year. And, because we want to go back to New Orleans. So the Bulldogs, we did not do so well in the game, but the Bulldog Nation for sure won New Orleans. We did a pretty good job on New Year's Eve in Bourbon Street. So
I love New Orleans, by the way, just so you know.
Hey, can we tell some stories on that, Lou? Any good stories from New Orleans you can?
This is not an adult
les
station.
Les bon temps roulés, that's as they say.
Well, good stuff. Well, so clearly, Coach Kirby Smart's doing some incredible things in Athens, and looking forward to tracking that in the months to come. So, Kevin, appreciate y'all hosting us today. Really, really appreciate that. As I mentioned on the front end, you've been a great collaborating force here in Savannah for a couple different things that we've been involved in, including founding the Apex Savannah chapter, which Lou will get you connected with. Maybe y'all organizations can collaborate there. And, you know, Apex has invited Apex Savannah to its most recent Top 50 Chapter Symposium because of all the progress y'all have made as a leadership board. It seems like Savannah's really been really embraced the chapter and embraced Apex. And, of course, Jeff Leroy is president. I think classes are here, right, at Savannah Tech?
Correct. Well, we're doing the Certified Logistics Transportation Distribution Specialist here at Savannah Tech's Crossroad Campus, which is out by the airport.
Fantastic. CLTD, which is a hot, the newest APIC certification. Yeah. So tell us more about, before we kind of dive into Savannah Tech, how did you get into, give us a little background of your journey.
A little background of economic development. So I am I'm a millennial before they coined the term. I'm in my fifth career.
Right.
The first career was with a Georgia company that sent me off to Chicago, a little company out of Dalton called Shaw Industries.
Yep.
So I cut my teeth in sales, selling commercial carpet in downtown Chicago, and then moved over into the healthcare business with Johnson & Johnson.
Yep.
For many years and was a sales representative as well as a division manager. So I got my teeth cut in healthcare there, ran a couple of careers there, and then was getting a little anxious with technology booming, and I went to go work for VeriSign.
Mm.
So I got involved in the technology world, and specifically the last few years of my tenure at VeriSign, I was working in a department or a division that was actually involved with the demand side of the supply chain.
Mm.
So when I saw Eunice was coming to town, I actually spoke to Scott Similac out of Chicago, and just seeing how they were differentiated in their space with the technology aspect, it really caught my attention, because at VeriSign, we were pulling all the point of sale data off of global retailers.
Mm.
And really being able to provide your customers with near real-time data of where their stuff was, basically, that single version of truth. So we could tell a manufacturer what they sold in a zip code down in Miami overnight.
Wow.
And so that had tremendous ramifications on the downstream supply chain for them. And so did that with VeriSign, and then I'm a recovering entrepreneur. I had a little brief stint in that world, and that connected me to the economic development resources in Savannah, and more specifically, learning about really just the acres of diamonds, to coin a phrase a former mentor gave me, that Savannah and Georgia had for economic development. And so when this role came up at Savannah Technical College, I jumped at it, and fortunately, the president brought me on.
Well, it sounds like you're a perfect fit. I mean, your diversity of your background, including being an entrepreneur and knowing some of those challenges entrepreneurs face, seems like you can speak a variety of different languages across the sectors.
I try. I bore people, so don't ask me, or you'll be sorry.
Well, all I can speak is from our personal experience, and you've been a wonderful collaborator and great resource. So switching gears a little bit now to Savannah Tech, tell us about, you know, what's the latest rage here at Savannah Tech? I mean, it seems like y'all have really, as I'm looking behind me, you've had a big focus on employability skills, which I love, because that's what helps these students get jobs. And that's what big piece of, you know, education, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And Scott, I wouldn't say it's the biggest rage. We're often find ourselves as the best kept secret, which is not always a good thing, but as a member of the Technical College System of Georgia, our assets are here. We've built it. So our challenge is always recruiting students to come. And then my role, I work with the industry partners, and I had a meeting this morning with an industry partner, and that company is ramping up to hire a pretty large workforce. So I'll tell you what I find surprising.
Sure.
Every week I go out and speak to the community, to the parents who have high schoolers, to people who have family members who are adult learners. And I tell them, through the technical college system and the lottery funded education, Georgia has one of the best deals in the country. So
absolutely.
In the technical colleges, we have the Hope Career Grant, and the Hope Career Grant has 17 different sectors that have the tuition paid for. And fortunately for our industry down here in Savannah, the supply chain, warehouse, transportation, logistics, infrastructure is one of those career fields.
Wow.
So what's really hot for us right now is our logistics. We have an associate's degree in logistics, but we also have workforce certificates in the logistics warehousing space, which are college credit. Mm-hmm. And then my department runs all of the non-credit where our APEX CTDL program sits. But we also have introductory programs for fast-track warehouse and logistics. So again, our challenge there, being a nonprofit entity, is getting the message out to the recipients of the benefits, whether they're veterans, as I said, whether they're high school folks. But I challenge any of your listening audience who are in Georgia to go ask a parent who has a sophomore in high school about what they're planning to do. And if you told them they could graduate high school and get a high school diploma and on the same day have an associate's degree and enroll in University of Georgia or Georgia Southern or Georgia Tech as a sophomore junior, 70% of them would be shocked.
No, I bet. And it seems like while they do that, they're taking advantage of these grants that help make it more affordable.
Absolutely. The grants are there. And again, it doesn't matter what level you are coming into training or education. It's not a plug-and-play model. In today's world, people are getting so used to just being able to go ask Uncle Google.
Right.
But again, there are steps that you have to take. But those are good steps because you're learning the process. You're taking care of what you have to take care of. And you mentioned earlier about our what we call the QEP. It's part of our accreditation process. And in my area, one of the things I hear over and over again, and it's becoming more nails on a chalkboard for me, which is quote-unquote soft skills. So I like what we've done with our employability skills because we're taking it beyond just this soft skills terminology, and we're helping students learn how to think about how they take control of their job opportunities. And with that, when someone like Scott goes out to hire an entry-level employee, hopefully through education that we're providing, they come armed with logical thinking skills, so you don't have to explain to them why they have to be there on time, why you don't have to explain when they go out for lunch in their cars in the employer's parking lot and they finish lunch and they dump the trash in the parking lot, which I've seen recently. So those are things from a workforce development perspective that we like to say that keeps us awake at night because we want you to be thinking about the things you do and how that affects your long-term opportunities with company A, company B, company C.
Absolutely.
And I like what you said. You started out in one area and you are in a different area. So we're trying to enforce on our students, start here, end there, and teach them that those of us who've been in career for a long time, we didn't just start there and get there in 3 months or 6 months. We made efforts along the way that helped us to be recognized in our companies and be given opportunities to grow, not only position wise, but income wise.
Yep. And you know, it gave us opportunities to grow and to learn and to be able to take on more responsibility, have more capability, have more capacity. And it's tough to get in 3 months' time to use that time frame. Mm-hmm. So switching gears a smidge, let's talk about supply chain trends that you're tracking. And you've already touched on workforce development, which is such a critical, you know, talent. We're in the war for talent era. That's not a cliche. The talent stream folks will certainly attest to that. You know, we're fighting. The companies are fighting for talent, and they're fighting to keep it. Talk about some of the other supply chain trends that you are tracking here at Savannah Tech.
Sure. And this is one that's been really interesting for us because as we talk again about attracting someone into the industry at an entry-level position, that in general down in our area, you're looking at low-end, probably $11 an hour, high-end, $18 an hour in entry-level roles. So the challenge, first of all, is attracting people to come into those positions and stay and grow with the company. However, now what are we going to do as machine learning, artificial intelligence, technology advancements begin to transplace some of those entry-level roles? How do you upskill someone in that position to make sure that they're not replaced by a machine or replaced by technology? So that's something that's I think, interesting as someone from working in a very leading technology industry for many, many years. It happens super, super fast. And your knowledge in technology today is only as good as what you go out and train yourself on to do the next day. It moves that quickly. You know, I remember the days when I had a bag phone that you had to put the antenna on the top of your roof.
Super magnet.
So thinking of that and making sure that we're ahead of that from an education perspective is very important.
So this notion of cobots, you know, I think it's an interesting one where you know, humans are working alongside robots, and really the notion that you touched on, I think, is really interesting. Where as long as you're willing to learn more and to be able to do more, you know, it's not those jobs aren't necessarily being eliminated. I mean, some of the robots and automation is taking care of like the monotony, right? That's in a lot of operations. But however, what we have found in talking with a lot of business leaders is as long as the team members are willing to learn new things and take on different roles, that it's really opening doors of opportunity in many ways. Now, unless, you know, if you don't like your cheese moved even an inch, you know, and you want to do the same thing Monday through Friday, you know, the 2019 and 2020, there might be some, it might be kind of painful. But, you know, if you're open to learning new skill sets and investing in yourself, your new doors are being opened, right? Would you agree with that?
I definitely agree with that. And again, that's the challenge. We talk to anyone coming into any of the programs that don't stop learning, never stop learning. Mm. So, another thing that is maybe visionary that you can look out in the future and see, if you've seen the JD warehouse in Shanghai, and there's a video that you can look up, JD warehouse, and they do with about 8 people what most distribution centers take about 160 to 180 people.
Wow.
It's scary if you look at it. But they had the investment, and I'm sure Eunice is probably one of the leaders, and they're watching that model. Mm. But it's a eye-opening video. The only one that scares me more are the Boston Scientific robots who are running obstacle courses.
That is disturbing.
It is. Yeah, look that one up, too.
Yeah.
So, but I come from a technology company, and I know how fast things can move and how fast they can change to a whole new paradigm overnight.
The rate of change right now is just so much to digest and take in. It seems like every hour there's a new innovation or a new gotta have app or something. It's really interesting. In fact, on the first show today, we were talking about Roadie, the RoaDie, right? Which is, they've got 120,000 drivers, I think, in 11,000 towns and cities where it's available. And I wasn't real familiar with the model until, you know, it came out this week that they had raised $37 million in C-Series. I'm not an investment guy, so whatever that means. Anyway, Home Depot and some other high-level investors, you know, made this huge investment, which is going to do some neat things for Roadie. And at its core, so let's say, Lou, you're going to a Georgia game and you're a registered driver. I was slow to this. I learned this week. And you drive a truck and you've got an empty bed and someone needs something to go to Athens. You're able to basically be a shipper for hire, a transporter for hire. And it's just a really neat, you know, 2019 technology marvel, I think. So, huge fund, and it's got a potential of changing the transportation industry in many ways from what you know, kind of like the Uber model, right? Mm-hmm. How that kind of upended the cabbies, which I know in New York City aren't. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been a lot of hubbub there, but it's just fascinating what these brilliant, you know, minds are coming up with that's changing how we live and chip and work and play.
Right.
So let's talk about predictions, bold. So Lou gave us a great prediction on UGA and the Bulldogs, and you also talked, of course, supply chain there. But let's talk about what your bold, fearless predictions are for 2019.
So my bold, fearless prediction, I've been tracking this, and I've, 2 year before, I went to 2 economic development conferences. One was a statewide conference, and one was a national conference, and they were held here in Savannah. And one was in the fall, one was in the spring. And both conferences brought in these automotive experts as their keynotes. And so it was interesting to see those two keynotes back to back, no knowledge of each other, different practices. One was definitely related to an automotive company.
Yep.
The other was more related to a big consulting firm, like a McKinsey type of consultant. And they told the story of the electrification of automobiles. And their prediction, both of them consistently together predicted by 2030, that 35% of all cars made in the world will be electric, or as they called it, electrified. So that led me to start really tracking the trends. And if you look at the Southeast and you look at Georgia in particular, we've just seen the perfect storm continue to happen. And so what do we see? Well, we led big with Kia locating several years ago as one of the biggest economic development projects in the state of Georgia. We now have recently seen the announcement of a South Korean electric battery production company coming online with 2,000 workers north of Athens. Mm. We also have the old Nissan Leaf electric battery plant outside of Chattanooga. And we have the corporate headquarters for Mercedes, Porsche, Peugeot, among the big announcements. So I see and this comes from no insight I have with my state position at all in economic development. This is just Kevin's opinion based on these factors. It's only a matter of time before we land a large automotive manufacturer in the state of Georgia that's going to focus on that electrification of vehicles. So that's my bold prediction.
That's bold. And you know, I love the picture you paint there, Kevin, because, you know, a lot of folks aren't aware that there's 10,000 manufacturers in the state of Georgia, right? And with these major investments, you know, you mentioned Kia, the Telluride. Everybody saw that Super Bowl commercial about West Point, which is so neat. It's certainly one of my favorites of that game. And the first Telluride shipped out of the ports this week. I heard we tried to have them on today, but we didn't have quite enough lead time. But what a fascinating story there, because that's going to help move the export needle, right, a little bit. A new program there at Kia, but also just the amount of jobs these companies create and how it overhauls these communities, right? West Point, I've been out there and toured it, y'all probably have as well. When they're at full production, as I mentioned, even before the Telluride, one new Kia rolls off the line every 53 seconds, which is just
crazy.
Fascinating. Yeah, it is.
Right.
I can't pick a word that's going to do it justice in terms of what Kia has done to West Point, Georgia, and how they have, given folks that used to work in, we heard a Kia plant manager talk about some of the areas that
textiles.
They've sourced. Yes, textiles. Mm-hmm. And now they're training them on robotics or other technology things.
Yep.
That is such a neat backdrop that consumers don't always connect with the vehicle they're purchasing.
Yep.
And in Georgia, we've got it in abundance. You said acres of diamonds. Is that what you said? It's close here, right?
Right, absolutely. And again, going back to the learning and the technology, if you do have the opportunity to tour the LaGrange plant, you'll see a majority of the production with robotics. And when you ask the robotics, still we lack talent in our own education system, and we need to continue to grow that talent so that the folks working and maintaining those robotics are local homegrown people. So that's again where I think Georgia leads in terms of how our education system is structured and set up to really grow that and build that.
Well, I like what you're doing. You've mentioned the word parent several times in just our short time here with you, because the parent, it isn't just necessarily engaging the kids and planting these seeds of awareness of all these lucrative career opportunities that maybe aren't traditionally spoken about in the classroom. But also we got to engage the parents who may have assumptions about certain industries as if it were 1971 versus 2019, because manufacturing is a different ballgame.
It is, and I did a focus group about a month back with 10 high school juniors and seniors. And one of the goals I had for that focus group was to understand their perceptions of the industries that they thought they were interested in, and also understand their perception of what it costs to live the way they envision themselves living post high school, post college. And we were focused with that group on manufacturing. So when we threw it out there, we had some expectations and assumptions, but it really exceeded when we asked the general, and they spanned from a kid who was studying welding to a young lady who had her nursing career mapped out 25 years. Very impressive kids. And when we asked the entire group who are in a career academy what they thought about manufacturing, when finally one spoke up, hard labor, the assembly line. And we probed a little bit deeper to ask if they realized that there were multitudes of fields, of job fields, that, including healthcare in a manufacturing setting, including accounting in a manufacturing setting. And you could tell that they had no concept of that. And I think it's important when you talk, again, I'm going to go back to John. He was a utility player, right? He went into the logistics industry, but under that position, he did many different roles, which really gave him a foundation to grow as a leader in his company.
Yep.
And I think that's the thing when, whether it's educators, whether it's parents, whether it's caregivers or guardians, you have to talk about the industry as a long-term vision.
Yeah, not just one paycheck.
Not just one job.
Yeah.
Don't go, if you're going to go and get your welding certificate, get it, but then figure out how you get more education so you can get an engineering degree.
Yep.
So grow yourself in those jobs and grow yourself in the opportunities, and that's how you become successful.
Love it. I bet that survey, when you focus on all those juniors, 10 different schools, I bet there's a fascinating trove of information and perspective you can
use. I know we're short on time, but I'll tell you the one thing, the conversation that you all should have with your kids and children and students is ask them what they want to do once they leave where they are right now. They have, and I did this test against those kids we talked to, against my kid, against my kids' friends, or my friends' kids, across the economic spectrum. Today, they are all lacking a basic financial understanding of what it takes to live. So when you boil it down to, well, do you have your phone? Do you know how much you need to make a month to keep that phone service? Do you have a TV? Do you know how much it costs to have that TV service? And that is something that they're not getting a good perspective of. And it makes it hard for them to pick those jobs that they want to get and live where they want to live.
Well, that's where these great resources like Savannah Tech come into play. You know, all about employability and teaching. I know you don't like the word soft skills, but these skill sets that don't necessarily just, you're not just born with them, but you know, kind of common sense, kind of critical thinking. And I love how y'all have kind of geared into a much more pragmatic level of programming here at the tech school level. And of course, one of the secret sauces and incredible advantage here in Georgia is the technical college system of Georgia. And we go to the Georgia Manufacturing Appreciation Week banquet each year. And it's amazing some of the stories that come out of there from folks that have plugged in and really utilized the resource. So how can folks get in touch with you and learn more about Savannah Tech?
Very easy. Just go to Uncle Google, type in the program you're interested in, and add Savannah Technical College or Savannah Tech to the end of it.
Perfect.
And they can find us.
And you can also go to savannahtech.edu, and there's a vast array of programs, especially as you know we're partial to supply chain logistics. They've been great partners for the APIC Savannah team. It's good to have Jeff and Bill and others that are instructing APIC classes here, and especially CLTD. That logistics, transportation, distribution certification has been very well received. Kevin Wertz, Vice President for Economic Development with Savannah Technical College. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for all your leadership out in industry.
Thank you, Scott.
You bet. So we're going to take the next couple of minutes as we sign off. We're going to share a couple upcoming events. Atlanta Supply Chain Awards. Winners are formally announced March 12th at the sold-out luncheon at the Buckhead Club in Atlanta. That's been a hotly contested program there. The Georgia Logistics Summit, which we spoke on March 14th. You can learn more at galogisticssummit.com. AME is coming to Atlanta and holding its Atlanta 2019 Lean Summit. Lots of great speakers, best practice sharing, a lot of plant tours. I think over a dozen plant tours, Caterpillar, Ingersoll Rand, ZF, Fiber Visions, a lot more. You can learn more at AME.org. We're excited to serve as a media partner for the AME event. Or you can shoot us a note, Scott at Supply Chain Now Radio. We'll get you the information. EFT is bringing its 3PL and Supply Chain Summit to Atlanta, June 10th through the 12th. Home Run lineup of speakers, Land O'Lakes, Uber Freight, Cisco, DHL Supply Chain, many more. Check out EFT.com for more information. It's official as of yesterday. We're going to be broadcasting live from that event. Come out and join us, and we hope that we might feature you on the show. Big thanks to our guest today, Lou Stover, Director of Sales for Unis. Lou, thanks so much for joining us. I really enjoyed the conversation, and I can only imagine some of the stories that are behind that that we couldn't get out today. We'll have to have you back later in the year. Kevin Warrens, Vice President for Economic Development with Savannah Technical College, our terrific hosts here today. Really appreciate that, Kevin, and all of your leadership. Bill's not with us on this episode, Bill Stankiewicz, but he's our co-host for the Savannah Business Leadership Series. Great friend. If you are, again, looking for some supply chain expertise, especially in Savannah, reach out to him at SavannahSupplyChain.com. Be sure to check out upcoming events, replays of interviews, other resources at SupplyChainNowRadio.com. And we hope that you have a wonderful weekend. Find us on iTunes and SoundCloud. We'd love for you to subscribe. And we hope you'll join us next time on Supply Chain Now Radio. Thanks, everybody.